Namaste. Jai Ma. We have waited 100 years for this day. We'll celebrate it in many ways. We are releasing today a commemoration volume with about 36 tributes to Sri M.P. Pandit on this occasion of his 100th birth anniversary. This is the book that we are releasing. Let me show it to our friends who are joining us on Zoom as well. We could have solicited many more contributions to this. Why would so many want to write about M.P. Pandit? Why would so many want to offer their remembrances, their gratitude? It has a beginning for this past life on the 14th of June, 1918. It is 100 years ago. And what came into the Earth atmosphere then was a mighty soul with a great mission. And his deliverance into the Earth atmosphere was protected, was nurtured. He was put in some of the best human circumstances a soul could aspire to achieve. His father was largely a self-made man, an attorney, a barrister, an advocate in Karnataka, who served all in a means and with a heart that uplifted the society around him and was himself of a spiritual bent. Because of this atmosphere, M.P. Pandit, when he was a mere boy, had the occasion to be in the august presence of sages like Vasishta Ganapati Muni, T.V. Kapali Shastriya, and they took a special interest in him and saw in the young Madhav a great light that could develop, that could be made to blossom. And so Ganapati told Kapali, watch him, help him. So from the time he was barely a teenager, Kapali Shastriya served as his spiritual father, as his guide. Kapali Shastriya, it should be mentioned, was already a siddha in the Sri Vidya tantric practice. It is the inheritor of all the great teachings of Abhinavagupta and Kashmir Shaivism, blended with the best teachings of Vedanta, but centered on the person and the being of the Divine Mother. So this was Kapali's natural atmosphere into which young Madhav was brought. And the untimely departure of Madhav's father as he was getting towards the completion of his college work permitted Madhav to entertain the possibility of coming to the ashram to join his great teacher Kapali Shastriya there. Now, if Kapali had gone to the Sri Ramana Ashram, where he had begun his practice, strong Vedantic coloring, that is where Impi Pandit would have gone. But because Kapali came to the Sri Aurobindo Ashram, that was where he found his asana, his seat. He came there by plane, just after graduating from college. In fact, he wrote and asked permission of Sri Aurobindo, "May I fly there?" Because he had never had a chance to be on an airplane before. And Sri Aurobindo wrote back, "He can fly." And so he came. All of this cannot be told in one session, so some will have to spill over until this evening, but let me just follow the natural curve of things, if I may. Because Madhav was offered an opportunity straight away by the mother whom he had met and Sri Aurobindo, who watched from behind, where he would want to live. His mother was already there in the ashram, his sister too, and so Impi Pandit could have gone to live a very soft life where all food would be made for him, his laundry would be done, all cares taken care of. Or he could live with Kapali Shastri, where he faced a life of endless work and tapasya. When mother presented that option to him, instantly he said, "Kapali." And Kapali made him work. He found young Madhav to be raw, full of promise, full of potential, but undeveloped. He made him learn Sanskrit. Started with Ramayana and then led him up from that. Taught him how to chant the Sri Lalita Sahasranama, which he did to his last days. But all of it was a sadhana centered on the mother. Whatever texts he was reading, whether they were Veda, Upanishad, Tantra, everything came back to the mother, and she recognized in him something wonderful. She called him, "My sweet Madhav." Mm-hmm. Something wonderful. And she took him and placed him under the watchful and liberal guidance of Nalini Kantagupta, who was one of her secretaries and intimate to Sri Aurobindo's practice of yoga in Pondicherry from the earliest days. And Nalini helped him to grow, helped establish him after serving so faithfully as a typist into his own office. As a typist, his first job was to type out the pages of The Life Divine, which was getting prepared for publication and which we have been studying now for 4 years on Sunday nights. Impi Pandit had the chance to type that out and offer the typescript to Nalini, who took them to Sri Aurobindo, and Sri Aurobindo would scribble improvements, emendations on them, not amendations, emendations. And Madhav's work was valued because he rarely made an error in typing. He was punctilious, he was exact. He learned it from Kapali. Already he had his own characteristics. It's not simply that he was a creation of Kapali, no. But he was a bud beginning to bloom, a possibility becoming a potential, beginning to disclose itself as an actuality. Mother made him her secretary and put a room at his service just below where she was. It's called Meditation House because the meditation hall is right next door. And he kept that room all the way until his passing. And she took Kapali and others in there. Finally, she took Champaklal in there and showed this place. He said, "Look, I want you to see what Madhav has done with his office." Champaklal was very impressed. Mother later said, He has the only organized mind in the ashram. And so she entrusted more and more to him. He was becoming a great scholar, beginning to publish articles. One that he wrote on meditation, he sent up to Sri Aurobindo for review before it was published. It now appears in the volume Grace of the Great. And Sri Aurobindo said, I have seen this before. And they said, no, sir. Nirodha said, no, sir, it's just come. He said, no, I've heard every word before. So deep was the attunement between Sri Aurobindo and the young Madhav Pundalik Pandit that the physical transference of paper was hardly necessary. But he was developing his work capacity for the mother, and he was developing this tremendous ability to communicate simply the vast and the profound truths of Sri Aurobindo's vision. He had the mother's facility for expression and the felicity of Sri Aurobindo's vision all available to him. So when his books came out, they sold better than any other books in the ashram except for those of Mother and Sri Aurobindo. And so now we have to look at him in the round. M.P. Pundit. He was not a peak. He was not a mountain peak. It was like he was a Himalayan range, all in one person. He came to the ashram with the intention of fulfilling his spiritual possibility, to realize the divine. That blossomed for him as he learned how to serve the mother. And so his field of service became his first field of self-dedication. That is where he learned best to meditate, by learning to live in her consciousness. He would say that though he was known as a person who had no dearth of work, to put it ironically, and though he had published many books and people looked at him as being a scholar or a sage, he said, actually, I am a bhakta, a lover of the Divine Mother, whom he recognized. It is a story you've heard from so many over the years, but it bears repeating now, that not the first occasion when he saw the mother, but later when he was ensconced in the ashram and he saw the devotion that other people had for her, he said, Mother, they have great love for you. I don't feel that. I have great respect for you, great admiration, but not that love. It is not something I feel. And she looked at him and said, oh? And he said, that wave after wave of love came into him, transporting him. And he said, to this day, it has not stopped. So filled with that beatitude of her loving presence, he did not feel comfortable stepping outside of it for anything. So he didn't. All of his work, and he worked 20 hours a day often, for decades, It is not an exaggeration. All of his scholastic aptitude, his ability to get to the core of the Veda, to understand what is the breadth of the Upanishad, to speak what is the truth of Sri Aurobindo as India continues to evolve and develop the Sanatana Dharma, all of it was centered on this love of the Divine Mother, whom he recognized everywhere. It is not enough to see the Mother only in a particular form. You have your favorite picture, you have your Ishta Devata. But have you developed the capacity to see her in all beings, in every flower, in every stone, in the mud beneath your feet, in the evolutionary reach of what lies in front of you, in every thought, in every feeling? All that you experience is an aspect of her. And she is looking for agents to help draw the possibilities embedded in the creation to their pinnacle. And M.P. Pundit recognized that. And he did not work simply for his own elucidation, for his own enlightenment, but he took her seriously. He took Sri Aurobindo's ideal of human unity seriously and found ways to reach out to communities outside. Started the Project Universal Man. And of course, he and Sri Aurobindo were part of a generation which used that word, man, to stand for all of humanity. We can graciously overlook. But to take an awakened soul and make it universal, to see that most of our being is commensurate with the cosmos, and that the cosmos and our soul are both extensions into time and space of what is possible there in that transcendence. This was something that evoked great enthusiasm in him. And after Mother's passing, it became clear that someone had to lead the Sri Aurobindo ashram from the spiritual dimension. He never said a word. But Mother had said years before, when she was beginning all that work that was recorded in the agenda, where she's working on the transformation of the cells of her body, that she had not much time for what used to occupy her. So now, she said, I use Madhav to accomplish all the occult work that I have to do in the ashram and in the world. So he became a conscious conveyance of her Shakti, of her light, her jyoti, out into the universe. He never gave public utterance to this. This comes to us from other intimates who were close to her. He never studied the Tantra in a way that gave him initiation into the field of perfection that Kapali Shastriya had. The innate abilities that he had in the inner spheres were part of something he brought with him already. Already had perfected in previous existences, and now they could be useful to the Mother. And why else do we want to use them, if not in service to the Divine? So he was her conscious agent in that way. But after her departure, again, unseen, unbidden, and sometimes unwelcome, he became the spiritual center of the ashram. And more, those around him, most intimate to him, began to form a corpus a kind of social body, a collective soul in bud that worked in unison towards the manifestation of these larger themes. First, find your soul. Then live vastly. Reach out. And that reaching out resulted in invitations to visit Singapore and Sri Lanka and the United States of America. And wherever he went on these tours to Europe, to America, to other Asian countries, he always felt that he was standing on Mother's land. He felt when he came to the USA that he was standing on holy ground. And he stayed and traveled from coast to coast in his first visit, giving 100 talks in 90 days on a cross-country caravan driven by Stan Anderson, accompanied by other friends, and of course by Vasanti Rao, his editor and muse, if I may say, and the one person, as he said to me once, whose company he never tired of. He said, everybody else, after some time, it begins to grate on me. I have to go away. He said, but not Vasanti. So, this group that was around him was an articulation of one of Mother's aspirations, that a great spiritual life cannot be isolated. It must become part of the whole. It must become part of the harmonious all else that's in the world. Samarasya Parayana. I realize that I've used up my time already, but I'm going to ask you to indulge me for a couple of more moments. And then we'll continue tonight with another session together. This wide collectivity continues. Madhav once said to me, when someone had expressed disappointment that I had not met Mother in person, he said, "All that would have changed your life, your future would have been secured." I mentioned it to him, and he said, "That is the greatest insult to the Mother that one could make. Do you think she is confined to that human consciousness? She is all that, as they say. She's all that." And one can live in communion with her, even with that special supramental energy that she was trying to express and embody on Earth, let alone the larger Mahashakti that she is. But the same is true of Madhav Pundalik Pandit. In his later years, he was known not only as this great sage and a tireless worker for the Mother who was indefatigable, but incarnated more and more her oceanic heart of love. And so many of you here who met him are right to say that you're a child of M.P. Pandit. He regarded you as sons and daughters. Yes, he really did. But those of you who never met him can commune with him inwardly, can read his books, and have the touch of his illuminated mind in yours, have the uplift of his heart in yours, have the might that he expressed in life in your own. It will make you feel great. And always he is the mother's child, sitting on her lap, playing with her things that she gave him. He is wise, he is powerful, he is great and vast, kingly because a king in past births, loving because he is an expression of her heart, wise because he is a glance from Sri Aurobindo's own eyes. He is all that. He is a monumental consummation, a paradigm, which we will have to work hard to approach, let alone to equal, still more to surpass. And he bids us to follow him, and knows and knew before he left that so many here would be with him in innings to come, that this is an infinite adventure. There is no terminus point. Now, I think that this is an auspicious day. I think his life is auspicious. He noted often that opposition would arise on his birthday, on the occasion around it, and try to prevent, try to block, try to obscure, but always the light persevered, and there was an effulgence at the end. And so too, when he decided to lay down his body, that too was auspicious, because mighty soul that he was, he was not going to live a life of contraction or of slow disintegration. Instead, he laid down gratefully this vehicle that had served him, and now he awaits in those spheres above, where you can visit him if you have the means and the power, that moment when Mother calls him back to further service here, when she says, "Are you ready? Shall we do some more? Because there's still too much darkness. There's still too much suffering. But what she is and what he represents, Satchitananda Rupini, the very form of she who is conscious delight. This is not a universe of suffering. The play is only partly told. There is much to do. But the manifestation of the Ananda, which is the fount of all creation, has yet to come. So let us leave our egos behind. Let us live from the soul more and more. Let us climb step by step. We'll find him on those Himalayan heights waiting for us, applauding our approach, welcoming our arrival. On this day, the 14th of June, 100 years returning, we're still grateful for all that he did and is doing for us. This very center where we sit, many of the things that you see here were placed here by him. We're grateful for all that he did. But let's remember to keep growing and not lodge ourselves in the past. We have much work to do, and we can carry it all inside us as we ensphere ourselves, as we grow taller and deeper and more broad and reach down towards the abysses so that we can sound the inconscience and implant light there. Radiate that place even with the divine consciousness. We have to keep moving forward. Our life should be one of progress. He encapsulated that in less than 75 years. Look what he achieved. Let us achieve. Let us go now with hands folded in namaste and in gratitude, saluting the great soul of M.P. Pandit. Let us go to meditate from our depths on what we may do next, what we may become. Namaste. Thank you so much for coming today and sharing the brilliance of the 14th of June, 2018. Much love to you and to our friends on Zoom. Thank you so much for coming. All the very best. And when we come out, each person shall get a copy of the book, if they wish. So, thank you. Much love. Much love. Jai Ma.